Okay, welcome back. We the people, it is Saturday, August 17th. Happy birthday to my youngest little man, Eugene. And coming up here in a couple days, happy birthday to my middle son, Brayden. And a happy birthday to my oldest daughter, Kaylee, back on the 3rd. What a wonderful time it is to be a daddy. Love my kiddos. Love them. All their birthdays are in August, mine included. It was a lot of fun. I turned, I won't tell you how old I turned. I had my birthday a few days ago on the 6th, so had lots of fun. We've been having a good time with the kiddos the past couple weeks for sure. But you know what? I wanted to welcome you back. Thank you again to all of our sponsors. Appreciate you guys for being on the air with us. Thank you so much. We have to talk about Kate Brown again here for a little bit, and I know you've been following a lot of news about her, and I'm not sure if you've been following so much her now as she's trying to recall her quote-unquote crazy. You're aware already, I'm sure, of the recall Kate Brown thing going on. We talked to Michael Cross last couple weeks, actually, regarding it. And so far, he's still on track with the signatures that he needs, for sure. But he needs 400,000 signatures by October 15th, I believe it is. So be sure to get a hold of them at Flush Down Kate Brown and make sure you get on the petition. But the other recall going on is from the GOP. And, you know, they say that they're recalling her, and I'm not sure if that's true or not. It looks like it is, but what it looks like is a conflict kind of, and I hope they can align themselves with this. But, you remember, you know, so Kate Brown, she's involved in quite a lot of things. Most notably, obviously, is she's pushed for a very bold action on climate change. We all know that, we're aware, which really doesn't have anything to do with Oregon and her politics. I'll just, you know, being honest. She also signed a law allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses. We're aware of that. Yes, this is her acumen. we're putting down her acumen today. And as a Democrat, she has the authority to take executive action on those fronts and many others, actually, to be honest with you. She has executive power to take action on a bunch of things, including the veto stuff that she had yet to reveal that we talked about last week, which not sure what the ramifications are on that or not sure. But in response to the GOP here is trying to remove her from office. So obviously there's some pull here. And some real differences in her tactics as our governor here of Oregon. And it's becoming a huge problem. The GOP is just losing their minds over it because it seems like everywhere we turn, Governor Brown is really sort of coming out of left field with all of these things. And you remember, I don't know if you heard me last week talk about what my thought is and why she's trying to do what she's doing. Okay, I believe that there is an underlying card here that she has yet to play and honestly won't play for a couple more years. But I believe, it's my belief, the reason why she's being so bold and so out of left field with this stuff, climate change. What governor of a single state should be concerned about climate change right now? I mean, honestly, folks, it sounds like... And the cap and trade bill, by the way, that was another one that I failed to mention on last week. The cap and trade bill was another one that came out of her back pocket and left field and left Oregonians going, what is she talking about? Why would she do that? Well, it's to get national attention. And the only reason to do that and tax the bejeebers out of us and bolster our general fund and make herself look really, really good to the nationals is to have a seat in D.C., in Congress. That would be, to me, why she's doing what she's doing. Now, I have nothing concrete to back that up with. Okay, I'm just being real with you. I don't have anything to back that up with. But you can't ignore the fact that no other governor before her, Kitzhopper, I'm not sure if Kitzhopper did or not, but anyway, no other governor before her was this bold out of left field with some of this stuff. The cap and trade bill. Come on, guys, really? Trying to take more gun control away from legal, good gun-owning Americans. And, you know, it's not making it any harder or easier. It's actually making it easier for you to get a gun illegally. Focusing more attention on illegal immigrants. Why are we giving you driver's licenses again? Can someone answer me, please? And while we're on the subject of illegal immigrants, why are we paying for your abortions? I'm just asking. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, yes, this is all stuff that Kate Brown has done, and why the GOP is absolutely freaking out and wants to remove her from office. Okay. So the chair of the Oregon Republican Party is right now leading this effort to recall her because, just to put it succinctly, she's a Democrat legislator that who's advocating policies that they don't like. Well, obviously, that's a good reason to recall someone, honestly. Is it really that bad? Yes, it's actually that bad. Here's a quote from Bill Courier in his recall petition. This is online. You can find it in his recall petition, which he filed, I believe it was last month. Here's a quote. The people of Oregon deserve and expect a governor that honors the will of the voters and works for the good of all citizens, not just special interests and political motivated agendas. That's a direct quote from Bill Courier. He declined to be on the show today. I did call his office and he was full up. He didn't decline because he didn't want to be on. He declined because he had other things to do. But I thought that was interesting. And I've been saying this now for months. I've been saying this for months and months. More recently, the last few months as the show has just sort of kicked off and stuff here. But the reason why I'm behind the GOP in getting her removed from office is because, no, she doesn't have the best interest of Oregonians in mind. Not at all. She has one interest in mind, and that's her own, and that's the furthering of her political career. She wants to be a career politician. Okay. It was supposed to be a volunteer thing anyway. Did you know that politicians were volunteer basis only back in the day when all this started? Yes. Volunteer only, not paid, volunteer only. They all worked full time and it was only for a limited term. And that was it. You got out and you got done. You got back to your families and it was over. It was a servant thing. It was a volunteer only thing. Anyway, fast forward. Here we are, Kate Brown. And she shouldn't be in office anyway, period. I don't believe that she should be in office at all. Is she qualified? I don't think so. But she took this as an opportunity to take advantage, in my opinion. And I've been saying this for weeks. You can quote me on this. The tapes, the podcasts are up on KSLM.news on the podcast side. I've been saying it for weeks and weeks. This, all the things that she's doing is culminating to one big major plug, which is a seat in Congress. I feel it in my bones. And you know what? There are some key players out there that would look at the information that we've submitted and look at the stuff and following her career and go, you know what? There's some validity to that. No governor takes their entire admin staff to Germany for a climate control summit, spending a taxpayer's dollars for that. No governor would have the gall or the selfishness or the narrow-sightedness to push for a bill like the cap and trade bill. Come on, really? Really? I'm sure Speaker Tina Kotek out of Portland is behind that a little bit as well. But seriously, no governor would, in their right mind, would Democrat or Republican, I don't care what party you serve for, would look at the last bill. What was it? HB 2020? Not 2020, I'm sorry, 3063, about the mandatory vaccines. Mandatory vaccines, you kidding me? You're not pushing for a socialistic thing here, a socialistic way of life, not a democracy. And now you're trying to set yourself up for this this hope and this long-term goal of being in office in DC. And that, I believe, is still the case. But I find this quote very interesting from party chair Bill Courier from the Republican Party, who said, I'll read it again. The people of Oregon deserve and expect a governor that honors the will of the voters. Governor Kate Brown does not have this. She does not honor the will of the voters. She goes completely the opposite against the grain, and so to speak, and works for the good of all citizens. She does not work for the good of all citizens. She works for her. Okay, I'm continuing with the quote here. Not just special interests and politically motivated parties. Wholeheartedly agree. It's inappropriate. It's irrelevant to Oregon and where we are for her to be doing the things that she's doing. And she should be out of office. And I'm so glad to be able to use this platform to further that voice. I've signed a petition to do that with the GOP. I've signed it. And so has everybody here. It's not a matter of I want to come against her so bad that I'm not even mad at her. I'm disappointed. Okay, just making the distinction there. Am I mad? Because I would be mad, and I would be very upset if some of these things had passed and we weren't able to get in front of it, like the cap and trade bill and timber unity hadn't happened. Remember when the Republicans totally walked out and they didn't have the ability to vote in this bill. Otherwise it was going to be voted in pretty quickly. And then timber unity got involved and they all drove down here with their trucks and protested. It was fantastic. And that's really good to see that happen and to know that it still works that way. And, you know, I'd be mad and upset if it passed, you know. I'm so thankful for our Republicans and the GOP and the people that are looking to block these things that are happening. Otherwise, we'd be in a really, really we'd be in a more foul state than we are currently. And so I'm thankful that we're not. But as of right now, as I'm sitting in my chair talking to you, I'm more disappointed in Kate Brown. I'm disappointed because she was not elected. Okay, not her fault. She wasn't elected in the office. Fortunately, she was not elected. That's great. I'm glad. Because if she was elected, something's wrong with Oregon. Really wrong. But she wasn't. But it feels like we're sitting here just trying to stay one step ahead. As a Republican, okay, as a registered Republican, and others like me, it feels like we're just trying to stay one step ahead of her so that it doesn't cause catastrophe. And that's really the reason why we want her out of office. That's the reason why I signed the petition with the GOP. That's why Michael Cross with Oregon Freedom Foundation exists for the Recall Kate Brown movement. You can find their captains all over the counties, all over Oregon, getting signatures like this. And that's the hope. That's the goal, is to actually get her removed and out of office. Not in a horrible, violent way, obviously, in a very good, nice, legal way. She needs to be recalled. And that's the goal. So having said that, he lists Brown's support for that cap and trade, climate bill that we talked about and granting undocumented immigrants driving privileges among his reasons for launching the recall effort. All valid, all very valid. Courier also, he complains later on about Brown's willingness to use executive powers to advance her policies. I've been saying that for weeks. It's true. She's been using her veto power. She's been using some other things to her at her disposal, abusing that executive power, in my opinion. And she's threatened to usurp legislative power with executive orders to implement her failed legislation, deciding single-handedly what's best for Oregon. And that's not appropriate. No one person has the right to understand, or not to understand, but has the right to decide what's best for Oregon. That's why we need a governor in office who has the heart of the people in mind, the good of the people in mind, and not for themselves only. Anyway, we'll be right back. We'll talk more about that right when we come back with We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. I'm Curtis Crittenden. I'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to We the People. I'm Curtis Crittenden. Thank you so much for joining us again today. I appreciate it. Thank you again to all of our sponsors. And you know what? I just wanted to kind of recap. If you're just now tuning in, we've been kind of unpacking a little bit about Kate Brown again. Obviously, she's been in the news quite a lot, kind of going over her acumen here of what she's been up to since she has been in office, and now who she is now, and what the GOP is trying to do by overcoming her idiosyncrasies, if you will. And we talked a little bit about what Bill Courier put in his recall petition. Anytime you go to recall someone, you have to put it in a petition. Obviously, he filed this last month. It was confirmed he did file it last month in July. And he said, and I'll just recap here, the people of Oregon deserve it and expect a governor that honors the will of the voters and works for the good of all citizens, not just special interests and politically motivated agendas. This is what he said. Okay. And I agree wholeheartedly. And based on the track record of Kate Brown so far, this has not been something that we see. Okay. We don't see her acting in the best interest of the people. It looks as though she has taken it upon herself to be the judge, jury, and executioner and deciding what's best for Oregon single-handedly. So instead of listening to the voters, instead of listening to the GOP or anybody else, really, for that matter, maybe a couple of her close friends, Speaker Tina Kotek and others, really, honestly, she's really just doing what's in the best interest for her and the furtherment of her career, which I've already touched on. I believe she's going after a seat in Congress, and you know, if I'm wrong, thank goodness, because this country does not need another Kate Brown in office. We already have an Omar. We already have a Ocasio-Cortez and all those folks, which we're going to cover here in the next half hour of the show, too. We got to cover some stuff that Omar is doing and what she's accusing Netanyahu of doing. But I wanted to cover some local stuff first and kind of give you a little bit of insider baseball on what's going on here, which you may or might not be aware of. I don't know. But Courier went on to list Brown's support, obviously, for the cap and trade climate bill and granted undocumented immigrant their driver's privileges, which is insane to me. But what's not mentioned here is she's implemented the abortion, free abortions for all policy, which means taxpayers pay more money in taxes to murder unborn children. And you don't even have to be a legal citizen, which is shameful, in my opinion. I don't know how she sleeps at night. I really don't. But she threatens to usurp legislative power with executive orders to implement all of her failed stuff. So the things that she's done that she's failed, she could literally wave her pen and veto the decisions of the GOP in order to implement what she feels is in the best interest for Oregon. And this is the basis for the GOP and Oregon Freedom Foundation coming against her to get her recalled. I am for this. And so far, they've got as of July 16th, they have 60 days? 60 days to collect the last, you know, couple hundred thousand signatures. So right now they're more than halfway there. And to 400,000 signatures. So I'm really hoping that it goes through. I signed it. I would encourage you to sign it. Go to Flush Down Kate Brown there, or go visit your GOP. Sign it, please sign it, because we need it. It sounds bizarre, but it's because it is. You know, two recall petitions have been filed with the Oregon SOS. This one, obviously, the first one's from the GOP, and the other one is Flush Down Kate Brown from Michael Cross there over at flushdownkatebrown.com and all those guys. And seriously, do we need more than two? No. Really hope it can get done in one. But seriously, it sounds really bizarre, but it is kind of bizarre to have both of them going at the same time. Someone's got to come out on top, and it's not going to be Kate Brown. Brown has another word for it, and I'll tell you what it is. It's called crazy. She sat down and told that to a reporter here recently, that it was just crazy. And I quote, this is a quote from her. She said, "Not only have I had one election in the last 3 years, I've had two, and I won both of them handily. So what part of the will of the voters are they ignoring?" Well, honestly, to be honest, I'm not sure how you got there. Not sure. Spokesperson for the Oregon Republican Party did not immediately respond to this, obviously. But to be sure, it's very unlikely the GOP's recall effort will work. Honestly. I really don't think so. I think Flush Down Kate Brown, I think the Oregon Freedom Foundation has more of a chance of winning because it's more statewide. The Oregon GOP is really only focusing on a little bit here and there, and it's not really focusing on the big picture. And they're actually blocking quite a bit more than they're actually helping. organizers would have collected, I believe, about 280,000 valid signatures by mid-October if they continue on with their current thing. And, you know, we know Brown just won re-election in November with 50%, more than 50% of the vote. If anything, it's more of a stunt, really, to boost Republican engagement and fundraising, which, you know, is neither here nor there. That's just part of the report that they filed. So the GOP's recall really doesn't really have that much of a chance of working. Now, however, Oregon Freedom Foundation does, because they are about halfway and they look like they're on track to do it with about 4,000 signatures or so left over. In other words, more than what they needed. Now, that's all speculative at this point, obviously, because there's no crystal ball here and we really don't know and won't see the end results of that until we actually see the end results of that. Okay. There's a similar recall effort underway right now in Colorado aimed at another Democratic governor, Jared Polis, as one Colorado GOP strategist would put it to the Associated Press earlier. It's a, quote, recall season, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's just the latest tactic right now. And instead of working the system, it's sort of... it's this thing that we're doing in Oregon, and we're trying to use it to undermine the Democratic stronghold. And honestly, we don't really have many options. Okay. Anyway, we got to come back. I'll talk more about this when we come back right here on We the People. Don't go away. I want to get into more of this stuff when We the People returns right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. Don't go away. So yeah, I'll admit, it's a tactic, okay? It's a tactic. But what else can you do in a supermajority? I gotta ask. You know, we have a few people stepping up to the Republican chairs. We have good folks like Bill Post and Joey Nations and other folks out there who are really trying to make a difference. But what is it gonna take? Another Republican in the Senate seat? That'd be great. You know, more Republicans that would step up and get voted into office and take back, you know, some equality in our House of Representatives. It's a landslide right now. So, yeah, there's a tactic here. And Kate Brown in the office knows it. They know it. Recalls don't work. Okay. They just don't work. So we're going to have to continue doing what we're doing until someone else can get her voted out. Okay. That'd be great. If we can get somebody else that could supplant her in this coming election, that'd be the best way to deal with this. Honestly, it really would. It is a tactic, because that's the only thing that we have that's one of the many tools that we have in our arsenal, is to try to undermine the Democratic stronghold that's going on right now in our state. Okay. Back in June, the GOP state senators fled the state. You remember, they actually ran out to prevent this vote on the cap and trade bill. It would have drastically reduced carbon emissions by 2050. Honestly, though, our planet is a phenomenal ecosystem, and we're not in danger of this massive carbon emissions thing. Is it an issue? It sure could be if we worked really, 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 really hard at it over the next 200 years, you know? She even dispatched the state police to round them up after they left, which triggered some safety threats from some folks. And, you know, and they were knee-jerk reactions. I get it. But it did force the Democrats to cancel the session on Saturday there. The climate bill died as a result. So the tactic worked in that regard. The tactic did work. But we had to go to some pretty drastic measures to make sure that it didn't work and to make sure that it died. And it did. and I'm glad for it. The Brown called the she called the GOP senator's actions in June a subversion of democracy. Well, okay, it wasn't a subversion of democracy. What it was an act wasn't even an act of defiance. It was an act to prevent something catastrophic from happening to the good working class citizens of Oregon before you break their back, Miss Brown. That's what it was. It wasn't some rebellious act of defiance going, it was simply that this is out of line. You're not listening to the voters. You're not listening to the people of Oregon. You are pushing this ridiculous bill through that frankly shouldn't even be on your radar, and we're just not going to show up to play. We're not going to show up to play because we don't want this thing to pass, and so we're just not going to play. So we're not. Here's a quote from her. They are the minority. Let me start again. They are the minority, way in the minority. It's like you lost, she said. They didn't have any other tool, so they left. They literally shut down the legislative branch. Hallelujah. That's my quote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They absolutely did. They did, and I'm thankful for it. If they hadn't, some stuff would have really hit the fan. You know what I'm saying? I would hope they would have the gall to do it again. You know? The drama over the climate bill really came at the end of if you want to call it a productive legislative session for the Democrats, I guess you could. But not for the Republicans. Not for us at all. You know, it's kind of sad. So anyway, all that to say that we deserve a governor, and we expect a governor to honor the will of us voters. The whole reason why you're elected into that office to begin with is so that you correctly implement the will and voice of the people in your state in which you govern. That's the whole point. Otherwise, what the hell's the point? I mean, there's nothing for it or against it. Anyway, enough on that. I just wanted to give you that sort of excerpt there of what's going on either side, and it's pretty ridiculous. Anyway, more on that later. I just I hope that sort of sheds a little bit of light there for you. And yeah, there's some BS going on either side. It's really ridiculous. So hopefully the petition gets out there far and wide enough that we get enough signatures to recall her. But honestly, at this point, the best thing to do is to get somebody else in office in the next election. Honestly, that's probably the best way to go about it. But we got to try something. We can't just sit idle by and roll over and let this thing happen. We can't. We won't. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense because we can't. Is there nothing we can do about it? No, there are things we can do about it. Absolutely. We could walk out and shut down the legislative branch for a minute and prevent the stupidity like the cap and trade climate bill. I mean, we can prevent that. That'd be great. And oh, wait, we did. So we're going to continue doing that and using every trick and tool in our arsenal to prevent things from happening. And, you know, hopefully we can find and elect a governor who has the best interest of the people at heart and not just their own, he or she, Democrat or Republican. Obviously, I'm biased and I would absolutely love to have a Republican in governor again. I think that would bode well for us. I really do. As long as he or she are qualified and have a good education and have the background to be able to, you know, stand up and not be bullied around by people and really take on Oregon and her issues, her real issues. Anyway. Ilhan Omar accuses Netanyahu of imposing a Muslim ban. I want to get into this here in just a little bit. So Representative Omar, she's the Democrat from Minnesota here just on Thursday. She actually, what she did was she accused Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of implementing his own Muslim ban-ish, quote, if you will, after his government said it would block her and another Democrat, Congresswoman, from entering Israel. I frankly don't blame him, and I want to talk more about this here when we come back. And I think we're up against a break just yet. Not yet, Mr. Producer? No? Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep going here just a little bit. But listen, it would change everything if we had, I don't want to say normality in Congress, you know, with our representatives, but her own country doesn't even want her back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if she is so much desiring to come and change our government's culture for the better and make it even better and all that, and I'm all for culture and I'm all for change, but she can't even go back to her own country and fix her own government. Why do you have to come to ours and corrupt ours? Okay, it's just like what I've been saying and talking about with Ocasio-Cortez. She hasn't done one solid thing for her district, not one. Several folks have emailed the show and confirmed that. She hasn't really done anything for her district. New York City, nothing. She's the youngest congresswoman ever to be elected, and she hasn't done jack. So why is she in office? Why is this gal Omar, the Democrat from Minnesota representative, why is she even in office? Was it a diversity hire? We're not sure. This announcement was shortly after President Trump tweeted that it would, quote, show great weakness to allow them in. And it's ignited a massive outcry from Washington Democrats as Netanyahu's government stands by the decision, arguing the U.S. lawmakers have an ulterior anti-Israeli agenda. Well, I don't know if that's true, but they block Omar from going over there. Why? What's the point? She says it's for educational purposes. I don't believe her. I believe she's got something else up her sleeve that she's trying to uncover or figure out. And frankly, I'm not down with it. You know, why we have to have people in office that are so intolerant of other people's toleration of them is beyond me. So anyway, again, all that to say is there's some hysteria going on that's surrounding that. And I'm glad that Israel blocks her from going over there. I don't think she has any business over there. Again, it's kind of like on a national level, if you will. It's kind of like Kate Brown saying, hey, come on, staff. We're going to go to Germany and learn about climate control because I want to do this cap and trade bill. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? They should have blocked Kate Brown from going over there. Honestly, I think it would have gone a lot better for him. Anyway, more on this here when we come back to wrap up the hour on We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. Stick around. I've got something really interesting to share with you after the break. Don't go away. Okay, and as promised, I wanted to share with you as we're wrapping up the hour here what Ilhan Omar responds with having been denied entry into Israel. It's kind of interesting, and I want you to take a listen to this. I'm going to turn up the volume here. I want you to check this out here. Just a second. I'm going to play this for you right now.
Breaking news as Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has now reacted to being denied entry as part of that visit with Rashida Tlaib, the other congresswoman as well, into Israel. It is an affront that Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, under pressure from President Trump, would deny entry to representatives of the U.S. government. Trump's Muslim ban is what Israel is implementing, this time against two duly elected members of Congress. Denying entry into Israel not only limits our ability to learn from Israelis, but also enter the Palestinian territories. And Sadly, this is not a surprise given the public positions of Prime Minister Netanyahu. She goes on to write, it's quite long. I would say that already we've been on the record here that Israel had reportedly told Tlaib, since she has Palestinian descent, that she's free to separately go visit her family. So we'll have to dig in deeper on what the facts are, but that's Omar responding to being denied entry to Israel.
Okay, and to me, it sounds like a girl's trip. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like, oh, it's a trip with your family. That's what it sounds like to me. It's not for educational purposes. Omar can't even travel into Palestine. The other gal could because she has Palestinian descent, but they can't go together. Why would you go together? I don't understand. Like, is it just a girl's trip or what? I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to share that with you. And I thought it was also interesting, given the social position of Netanyahu, why he would deny her entry. And I believe it's because that she is sinister in nature and she has an ulterior motive. What ulterior motive that is, we don't know. But what is clear is that she is another one who does not have the nation's best interest at heart. All she's trying to do is really get her own career forwarded there. And both Omar and Rashida Tlaib, the other lawmaker barred by Israel, they're Muslim. Okay? They are also very outspoken critics of Israel and have expressed support for boycotts of the country. And Tlaib, in a tweet here recently, she just ripped the decision as a sign of weakness. She ripped that whole thing to pieces. So they're both Muslim, and honestly, it scares the tar out of me to have them in our nation's Congress to begin with. But wanting to go over there, it sounds more like a mission to dig up dirt that they can bring back and further hold up this little movement of theirs to boycott the country. And that is why that's wildly inappropriate. It's totally inappropriate. In her statement, Omar defended her desire to travel to the region. And what she said was that the trip was intended to be educational. Well, yeah, educational for whose benefit? Like yours or our country's, right? Because you're a Muslim. And so if you could go over there and dig up some kind of dirt on Israel by infiltrating something or whatever, you could come back and bring quite a lot of deficit with you. Frankly, it's more of a liability. I mean, if you want to be frank about it, it sounds more like she's going to go over there and become more of a liability and a potential embarrassment to our country. Not unlike Ocasio-Cortez, who is massively embarrassing. It looks like these two women here are in a direct coup with each other to, here we go again, undermine our nation's authority and another nation's authority and destroy and disrupt good relations that we have with them to disrupt our country and to, you know, help bring down our president and different things like that. Anybody else with me? No? Well, Netanyahu explaining the decision at length on his office's Twitter account, which is funny that they use their office Twitter account to explain this. So he said that Tlaib and Omar's itinerary revealed that they plan to visit, whose sole objective is to strengthen the boycott again. Ah, so it is to strengthen the boycott. Ah, against us and deny Israel's legitimacy. So there is an underlying thing here. Did you catch that in a Twitter account in Netanyahu's office, in their Twitter account, he said that Tlaib and Omar's itinerary, quote, revealed that they planned a visit whose sole purpose and objective is to strengthen the boycott against Israel and deny their legitimacy. Wow, I'd block him too. What a smart guy. Their travel plans, they actually planned to go into Palestine, not Israel. And the congresswomen were not interested in meeting with Israeli officials at all. Well, duh, of course they'd get denied. Because if they're trying to make it look like they're going to Israel, they're not. They're actually going to Palestine, not Israel at all. Israel reached out to them. Their officials reached out to them and invited them to meet with them, but they didn't want to. Neither one of them, Talib or Omar, wanted to meet with them at all. They went on to note that the Palestinian organization that planned the visit with them, MIFTA, supports the boycott movement, and that people associated with the group have actually supported terror against Israel in the past. What is going on? Are we now trying to be involved in terrorism against another country? Isn't that what America stands against? But now we've got two congresswomen here that are in cahoots with each other in a direct coup to join hands across the pond in a potential act of terror? Wild. They weren't going over there to be educational with Israel. They just, now they got caught with their pants down, and now they're getting worried that they're going to get in trouble now here. Well, I hope that they are. They should be. These two women should be arrested. MIFTA was a known supporter of terror against Israel for years in the past. MIFTA. Both of these women are Muslim. Does anybody not understand what's going on here? Can you not see the correlation? Of course MIFTA supports the boycott movement because they're all for the illegitimacy of Israel as well. So are these two Muslim ladies. These two Muslim ladies. I'm not calling Muslim people dangerous. I'm calling radical Muslim terrorists dangerous. I believe these two ladies are going down the wrong hill there and trying to take Israel down with them. Okay? He said Israel welcomes critics. Netanyahu said that they welcome critics with the expectation of those who support boycotts of the Jewish state. Of course. I'm not going to let you into my country. No. Because you support the boycott of us, of this Jewish state. You women are dangerous. You two ladies are dangerous. And you want to go into Palestine, not Israel. You want to meet with MIFTA, who's terrorized us in the past. What are you doing? What are you doing? Omar and Talib, they plan to visit Jerusalem and the West Bank on a tour organized by the Palestinian organization aimed at highlighting the plight of the Palestinians. Right. So now they're squirming in their boots because we see through them, and so does the government of Israel. Ha! Oh, man. I wonder if they know how stupid they look. I wonder. I really do. Not Israel. No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the stupidity of Israel, because they're not. I'm talking about Omar and Talib. Do they know how stupid they look right now? I mean, the look on their faces as they're trying to explain this away is really revealing about their character. It's funny to me. Anyway, I'm thankful that they denied them entry to that, because it was not an educational visit. It was to further the boycott movement with MIFTA, previous terrorists of Israel. Anyway, more on that later, but I wanted to give you sort of an update on where we were, what's going on locally, what's going on nationally, and I hope this helps. I hope you've had fun. I hope it's been informative. And please email the show at allegiancetotheflag@yahoo.com or message the show. You can message the show as well on our Facebook page, We the People at Allegiance to the Flag. I'll see you next time right here on We the People on 104.3 FM KSLM. We'll see you later.